Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. You know, I've been opening the show that way for almost 4 years. In fact, this coming February, the 25th, will mark our fourth year of being on the air here on War Report. It will also mark the fact that we have done over 200 and probably 30 one-hour shows. That's a lot of shows. We have been just cranking them out for a long time. Never would have thought in the very beginning that we would be on the air this long. I didn't have any idea when I started how long we were going to be on, a week, a month, or a year, or what have you. I certainly had not seen 4 years. At the same time, this coming February the 25th, not only will it mark the anniversary of the first show, 4 years ago, it will also mark the anniversary of the War Report going off the air. Let me say that again. Each year that we've been on air during the month of February, I've always spent weeks contemplating, should we go into a new year? Is there work to be done yet that we hadn't done that should be done and shared with our audience? And I'd always said yes, and we would start a new year starting March. This year, I don't feel that there's a lot more that we can do that we haven't already done here on the War Report. And I've been thinking about this and discussing it with the team and thinking more, and decided maybe as early as just before September, before school started, that this might be the last year. And with that in mind, I spent September, October, November, you remember we took off December for the first time, really sort of preparing for the decision not to start a fifth year. If you were to go back and look at the first show, we said September is a back-to-school month, and so our shows revolved around that theme. And then the October shows and then the November shows. I have literally and figuratively been preparing for if we made the decision not to do a fifth year, that all the shows in September, October, November, January and February would all lead up to not coming back for a fifth year. Kind of sneaky of me, maybe, but when I talk, for example, about survival of public education and the community schools and asked the question whether or not that was the last hope for public education in terms of survival. When I talked about what kind of teacher we need for the, quote, 21st century, and I laid out what I thought the activist, the scholar, educator, and what that entails to some extent. And all the other shows really fit into the decision of if we did not do a fifth year, we have prepared ourselves and you with here's what you need to be thinking about, you need to be aware of, you need to understand. And if the war report doesn't come back, you have this awareness that maybe you didn't have before. You have the understanding, the model that we have always worked from, awareness, understanding, emotional engagement, positive individual collective action. And hopefully we've done a good job of preparing everyone who's been here for any length of time to understand and operate within that model. I guess I'm hesitating here because this is kind of hard. War Report has become such an integral part of me, my persona, and Joe and Deb. And to the weeks that we don't do it, it's like, what are we going to do with ourselves? And Joe and I, or we'll either do a collective thing where we send each other messages saying, like, it's Thursday, and we're not preparing for a show. What am I going to do for the rest of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I'm going on and on and on. I will come back to this a little later on. Today's show asked you to consider several things today. And if you got our promotion, you know that today's show is about choice. It doesn't say, you know, today's show is about choice, but in the title, I say to you, choice for public public schools. And I say later on, what are the choices for the purposes of public education? And then I say again, what are our choices for the kind of public education and schools we want? And then I say later on in that promo, you can choose. And then again, I say, you can choose X, you can choose Y. And then I talk about choice schools. That was me being very sneaky, saying choice, choice, choice. This is what we've been talking about, in essence, for the last 4 years. And those of us in education have been experiencing in one form or the other for almost the last 40 years. We have seen our public education being taken over by a purposeful ideology, plan, we call here the Machiavellian agenda, to take over public education by way of destroying public education for the purposes of erecting a privatized education system. We have sat back and watched it. We have been in our classrooms, we have been in our schools, been in our communities, and we have seen this take place over the past 40 years. And the ideology, the propaganda that has been used as a smokescreen for this is choice. Everyone wants choice or choices, okay? That's the American way. That's the human way, is to have choices that we can select from that best suit our needs, our taste. Who is going to argue against choice? Tell me, wouldn't you all want to have as many choices to select from? If you're buying a car, you're buying a home, you're buying clothes, what have you, you want choice. And here, according to the Machiavellian agenda and those people who created it, we are offering you choice. And if you hadn't realized that you should need choice, we're now making you aware that choice is the way to go, and we are very confident that you're going to select from the choices available the right one for you and for your children. So I was playing with that in the title and in the description of today's show, because if you've been here for any length of time, I said back in our first year, and I don't know how many times since then, that choice means no choice. Let me say that again. Choice means no choice. When the opposition says choice, here's what they are not saying to you. Look at big business. Look at the corporate structure. Look at those entities that control a given market. When there is competition, what do? They move to buy the competition, eliminating that choice. They will move to destroy it, eliminating it as a choice. They will engage in all kinds of propaganda to disqualify or discredit that entity. In other words, by any means necessary and available, they will use to eliminate the competition. You've seen it happen. You see it happen every day. What was it? Amazon just bought Whole Foods. Walmart, when they were building near Juggernaut, they would go into a town or city, and they would set up their facility and offer prices that the local stores couldn't come close to. They would drive them out of business. Amazon, when it came in, what was it they were doing? They were offering you convenience. You could buy no taxes. They didn't have the overhead that business had in terms of brick-and-mortar businesses, so they could undercut whatever competition was there by offering lower prices. This is the way of those individuals and entities who believe in, quote, selling us the choice scheme, is to say that we all should have choices. But in reality, They want you to have one choice. Like one size fit all that they talk about that you shouldn't want. But in essence, it's their way or the highway. You've heard me say this before. So it's choice that I'm dealing with now. And the questions that I'm raising here for you to think about, have a conversation about, you know, what choices do we have for defining the purpose or purposes of public education? I don't think we have any real choices here. And I think pretty soon, a few years from now, it's quite possible that you won't have to deal with the question of choice or purposes because it's all been defined for us. When I say what are our choices for the kind of public school, public education we want, again, I'm saying we won't have a choice here. We will have that one size fits all. And again, when I say, can you choose from model A, model B, model C for the school that you really want to send your child to and teachers, the school that you want to work in? Do you have a choice? Also, I'm saying to you, if you're not a teacher, you're not a parent yet, look at what's happening. And when you become, if you become a teacher, you become a parent, this is going to be the situation that you're going to find yourself in terms of choice. You won't have a choice. So to make this even more, yeah, hopefully eye-awakening or entertaining or whichever stance you're coming from, I gave you a choice. And I said that, you know, you can choose from the neoliberal Machiavellian agenda schools that are market-based and data-driven schools. Now, we all know what I'm talking about there in terms of this is the essence of the war, in that those who want to, quote, reform, and you know that's a misnomer, those who want to destroy public schools for the purpose of erecting privatized schooling. And when I had said to you, when I say privatization, you think control, ownership and control. They set the purpose. And when I talked last week about vision, they have a vision, and it's a shared vision, something that we don't have, those of us who are not in that camp. We don't have a shared vision like they do. And I lay out, you know, the Machiavellian agenda, which we've been talking about here for 4 years, and I said, you can choose that. That's one of your choices. Or you can choose what I'm calling the new positive children and youth, young adult, positive development school. Now, I talked about the positive development a little bit last week, and I'm going to talk more about it this week, and I may even go over into next week. I set it up this way like it was a debate. And I'll give the features of each and you sitting there, and you've got your hand on the button, and you're going to decide which one you would choose. As if you were in front of me as an audience, and you're going to make the decision of what your choice would be, given these two alternatives, and they are very much diametrically opposed to each other. So here you have a clear set of choices. And I asked the facetious question, which one would you choose? Now, you know, if you've been here for any length of time, what I'm talking about when I say the Machiavellian agenda, and we've called it the Machiavellian Agenda School. You know, especially if you've been working as an educator in the school, if you are a parent and you're in one of those communities where there has been this massive effort to shut down the public schools and then either sell them off or turn them over to an organization to revamp them, or a new organization to come in and bring their choice, purpose, model of school. You know what I'm talking about. So, but I will go into some of the features of this Machiavellian school, okay? First of all, we know that the Mac school, I'm going to call them that, the Mac schools are what? They're data-driven. We know that they rely heavily on technology, both hardware and software. We know that they are competitive. The bottom line is that they're competitive. We know that their vision is to turn out the next generation of people who have been exposed to a very narrow curriculum, who have not had the benefit of a curriculum that really engages the students in critical thinking, because they don't want critical thinking. They say they want every child to become a critical thinker. That's not true. Critical means to critique, to criticize, to be able to criticize the big picture society, to be able to criticize any component of the big picture with skill, with expertise. That is not what is wanted. We also know that said school, we put the onus on the teacher for preparing our students for college or career. We, in that model, there is no mention of the inequities in funding. There's no mention of the injustice that takes place on a daily basis. In that model, there's no mention of the school-to-prison pipeline that has developed. Instead, what is presented to us in that choice model is we educate our kids to be successful and we can tell you that they're going to be successful because they were successful on our high-stakes standardized testing regime. And if they were not, we made changes. We got rid of teachers, we closed schools, we got rid of administrators, and we looked at the students as being the reason why they did not achieve at the level that we thought they should be achieving, because the system is perfect. The imperfections are either with the teachers, the administration, the curriculum, the pedagogy, the student, and without saying it, the parents, the community. And we have created a model here that deals with that by identifying very early kids who are not with the program. Again, I'm sort of like hesitating here because you know all of this, but I want to, for those who have not been here for a while or those who are not teachers or in community, from communities where you're experiencing the war on public education because you're in the suburbs, you're in a part of the city where these things are not happening to your children or did happen to you. So I'm sort of like trying to provide information that may be redundant, but also may be new to people for the first time. And so I'm thinking that if you understand this model, are you going to push the button saying, this is my choice? And further, in terms of, it's a school model that vision, and I talked about vision last week. Vision is what we want to have in the future. Not today, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now, a year from now. They have the vision of turning out students who, by the time that they come out of school, young adults, who will support the maintenance and the perpetuation of a particular type of social. Okay, somehow we got disconnected, and I think I know where we were when we got disconnected. But what I'm doing is trying to lay out some of the features of the Machiavellian Agenda School. And I was trying to do it in such a way that if you are new to this show, if you're new to what's happening in public education, I'm giving you some background by way of telling you the features of a Machiavellian, what I'm calling here a Machiavellian school. And so to finish off what I was saying, the end game here of the MAC school is to turn out individuals who have embraced the competitiveness of life. You know, the survival of the fittest. And that said individual is out to enhance his or her individual profile, or the word that they use, capital, by being competitive, seeking relationships that the other person in the relationship or persons are picked because they will enhance your portfolio, your individual capital, so that you can succeed according according to the norms of the society that the Machiavellian agenda envisions and wants to maintain and perpetuate into the future. That's a lot. But think about this. We have been under the, what, preparation for college or for career, and depending on where you are, there's a third one now our schools are supposed to prepare you for, and that is the military. Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, this past spring, part of the summer, he floated the idea that Chicago kids could not graduate, even though they've completed all the coursework, the grades, if they do the standardized test and whole nine yards, unless they have a plan in place. In other words, they submit it to the district that shows where they're going to college, they've been accepted in college, or their career, they have a job lined up, or a training, or internship, etc., or they couldn't graduate. However, if they can show that they don't have those two, but they can show that they plan on going into the military, they can get their high school diploma. So, that's a system that is preparing our kids to college, career, or military. All of those three choices, select one, two, or three, are supportive of the type of society that the people, the MAC agenda people, want and want to see perpetuated, like the Roman Empire that I used to compare it to, for the next 1,000 years. Now, you know this model, and there's a lot more that I didn't say that maybe I should say, but you know it. The high-stakes testing, again, the data collection to be passed on to the corporate entities and to the government to help create algorithms that will help those people provide you with the choices that they want you to have as a consumer, as a member of society, etc. Now, the other choice that I gave you, I talk about something called the New Positive Youth Development School. I talked about it a little bit last week, and I'm going to go a little more into it today. I may even extend the conversation into next week. So let me give you a little history here. Stay with me on this. We have been operating as a society and even as a culture for hundreds of years that basically view individuals as having to be socialized into becoming, quote, the model citizen, to be the good person, the moral person who support the values of our society, and that the school should be a very, very important agent in this socialization of our population. Be you born here or you come in as an immigrant, the school becomes the agent or the institution that has the responsibility of socializing our youth to become a certain type of adult participating citizen in this society. You know that too. We also have been a society that believes in punishment. If you don't toe the line, we believe in labeling you as a failure, categorizing you, labeling you, and then that category or those labels stays with you in some cases forever. It's negative, is what I'm trying to say. And the view, the vision of humanity at the individual level basically is potentially that of negativity. Well, let me go into this a little more. Take psychology, for example. Psychology as a discipline, as a science, studies negative human behavior. They try to understand what this negativity is and create therapies or intervention models to try and reduce the negativity. About in 1998, at the American Psychological Association annual meeting, the new president, a guy named Martin Seligman, like all presidents, they get up and they give you a vision of what the organization, or in this case, the profession, should look like going forward. Seligman's vision was, we need to take a 180-degree turn here from studying the negative aspects of human development, human behavior, and focus on the positive of human behavior. Instead of focusing on depression and neuroticism and the more psychotic forms of behavior, let's look at the human behavior differently. Let's seek to identify the positive. Let's seek to improve on the positive aspects of human behavior or humanness. And hence, something came out called positive psychology. It's only been about 20 years. It took off like a rocket. And now positive psychology, positive education, positive culture, positive you name it, looking for and trying to identify all the positive things in humanity. While this was taking place, education, back in we know of Dewey, and the progressive education, and Dewey and others who were pushing for a reform of education along the positive, what they call a progressive education. And let me give you some of the elements of what they were pushing as positive education. And then I'll tie this into positive education and see if you see the connection, the evolution here. And then I'll bring it into the school setting. there were, we'll call them themes, several themes here, or several principles of this progressive education. Emphasis on learning by doing. You know that coming from Dewey, but he wasn't the first one to advance that idea. But that's one of the most strongest principles of the progressive education is this emphasis on learning by doing. Hands-on projects. What do we call it? The experiential learning. Experiential learning is what I want to say. Then integrated curriculum focused on thematic issues. Then strong emphasis on problem solving and critical thinking. Ability to work in groups and developing social skills as a result. Understanding and action as the goal of learning as opposed to rote memory, rote knowledge. Collaborative, cooperative projects. And education for social responsibility and democracy. And if necessary, highly personalized learning according to each individual personal needs and goals. The integration of community service and service learning projects into the daily curriculum. Selection of content based upon what students need as opposed to some standardized curriculum. A de-emphasis on textbooks in favor of various different kinds of learning modes. And then assessment by evaluation of students' projects and the production that they can exhibit to show how much they've learned. Now, does this sound familiar? How about today? There is this boom in project-based learning, problem-based learning, experiential learning. This is a progressive education movement of the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. The emphasis on the student as an individual, and the emphasis on not pouring, quote, knowledge into the child to be absorbed by the student. I keep saying student, I keep saying child interchangeably. I mean one and the same. Instead, the student becomes a creator of knowledge, a producer of knowledge. And when the student is a producer of knowledge, the student learns more, and he or she retains more going forward. The emphasis upon being a lifelong learner comes out of this movement. So that you have an, I'll call it now, an educational philosophy that we call progressivism, then we have this thing called positive psychology, and you can wed those two movements into a positive youth development model and the role that schools, teachers can play, public education can play in bringing about this positive youth development. Folks, what I've done in those past few minutes is a very bastardized condensation, a condensing of what positive youth development is, how it came about, its origin. I know I'm not giving it its full due, but given time constraints, it's a rather condensed version. And for our purposes here, I want to now go into what this positive psych thing looks like. If our school, okay, back to our choice thing. If we had as a potential choice the positive youth development school education school model, here's what I think it would look like. And first, it would be a shared vision that I talked about last week. It would be a positive view of the student as opposed to the negative view. It would look at learning, look at the purpose of education as a ecological system where there are many structural parts that individually do one thing and collectively they do something else. And most importantly, it would look at the social structure that I've talked about, being the political, economic, family, religious, and the political system, as social institutions. It would look at the social structure impact on shaping each of us from conception to death. Let me say that again. It would look at the impact of where you were born, when you were born, the family, the community that you were born into. It would look at the role of the political policy, the laws of the society or the culture that you were born into. It would look at how these entities help shape who you are. It would look at these as they not only help shape who you are, but they help shape who you can become. And in many instances, who you will become. That's far different from a school system that doesn't look at the ecological system that the child is born into, raised into, and that when the child comes to school, he or she brings all of this with him or her to the school, to the classroom. Different vision. And when I talked last week about vision, about mission, right off the bat, we got a different vision to start with. Also, this new positive youth development school looks at the role of schooling and the way in which students should be prepared to take their role, their place as young adults when they complete the school, is to enhance social justice. Change. And that these students in the future, remember, a model, a vision, is what you want to become or to do or be able to do come sometime in the future. This is a model that says that the schools should work to prepare students to be able to contribute to society, to be able to see issues, problems facing a given community or groups of people or the whole society, and be able to work towards bringing about social justice and or social change. Competing models is what I'm trying to develop here for you. The new positive youth development school model versus the dominant corporate Machiavellian, corporate state Machiavellian agenda school model. That's the starting point. And that the positive youth development promotes the optimal youth development and resiliency in each of our students. Okay? Again, they're talking about a whole different set of values here to promote the optimal youth development and resiliency. And each child, and to try and prepare each child to become capable of dealing with adversity, become dealing with risks, dealing with challenges, taking into consideration the potential and the capacity of young people in a way that the other models doesn't, including our traditional model of education and schooling. Okay, that's as far as I can get now. I am going to continue this next week, and it'll be sort of like a capstone to going into February. You know, February is Black History Month. I will do the four shows then on Black history issues, Black education history issues, but we'll also do a little more each week towards bringing the War Report to an end by the end of February. Again, I've always over-prepared. There's a whole lot more that I want to say that I don't have time to say, but we will continue this next week. Have a good rest of this Sunday, everyone, and hopefully you've heard some things that you want to think about, and we'll come back next week. Take care, everyone.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.